TV headlines and Iraq American forces attack a house south of Baghdad, killing five people. Also ahead, foreign troop casualties rise in Afghanistan with 29 soldiers killed this week alone. Kyrgyzstan's interim government declares a state of emergency in the south of the country. And day 55 of the oil rig disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Can the gusher be stopped anytime soon?
Half past midnight here in Tehran. You're watching Press TV News.
Thanks a lot for joining us. More on our top story now. U.S. forces in Iraq have raided a house, killing at least five civilians, including a woman.
Witnesses say the troops gunned down a couple on the rooftop of their house and went inside to kill three others. More in this report.
It was fatal, shocking, and sudden. Relatives of the families still in disbelief say they cannot fathom the extent of U.S. troops' coldness. The killings came in Al Khan Afsa area near the city of Karbala.
The U.S. troops came from here on foot patrol. When they arrived, a man went to the roof of his house to look at them. They intentionally opened fire at him as they saw him and his wife, who went upstairs to check what happened. They walked directly to the house after this.
The U.S. military has yet to comment on the incident. Many say the attack was in total breach of the so-called SOFA deal, a major and controversial security agreement between Baghdad and Washington, based on which American forces are required to stay in their bases and can operate only outside urban areas.
It looks as if the American forces have breached the agreement. It seems that the Americans had the lead role, and they actually have used excessive force, and it seems that they basically resorted to a heavy-handed approach, which is totally unacceptable in a residential area. Now, there are innocent, defenseless people actually living there, and this should have been taken into consideration.
The agreement also stipulates a full withdrawal of U.S. troops from the war-torn country by 2011. Washington says it will stick to the withdrawal timetable, but accountability for such deadly attacks remains a distant prospect, especially as the situation on the ground shows no sign of America approaching the end of its occupation of Iraq.
Elsewhere, bombings have killed three more NATO soldiers in Afghanistan. One of the deaths was a British soldier who was killed in the southern province of Helmand. Meanwhile, a Polish soldier was killed in a bomb attack on his convoy in the eastern Ghazni province. The other fatality was an American. The U.S. trooper died in northern Afghanistan. 29 NATO soldiers have lost their lives in Afghanistan over the past 5 days. The rising NATO deaths have slashed support for the Afghan war in both the U.S. and Europe. Violence has once again gripped southern Kyrgyzstan and seems like spiraling out of control. This after clashes between the Kyrgyz and Uzbek ethnic groups flared in the southern city of Osh, leaving at least 75 people dead and more than 1,000 others injured.
The spread of violence has forced the interim government to impose a state of emergency in Jalalabad. It's also authorized security forces to shoot to quell the violence.
A second day of ethnic violence has left Kyrgyzstan's second largest city in flames. Gun battles and fires are still raging in Osh despite the deployment of troops and a government-imposed state of emergency. The worst-hit areas have been Uzbek parts of the city, with several streets in one neighborhood reported to be still burning. Gas has been shut off to Osh, and some districts are facing power cuts. Tensions have been running high in the south since the former president, Kurmanbek Bakiyev, was ousted in a bloody revolt in April. The interim government is now busy blaming Bakiyev's family for instigating the unrest ahead of the country's referendum slated for late June. Interim leaders have warned of a civil war after admitting to having lost control of the south. Kyrgyzstan's interim leader has appealed for a third-party assistance to stem the spiraling violence.
We need more military forces in order to pacify, to settle the situation. In this regard, we first of all asked Russia for help. I signed a letter addressed to President Dmitry Medvedev.
Kremlin has called the situation an internal conflict and rejected the interim government's appeal to deploy troops to help quell the rising violence.
If Russia intervenes militarily, that will be a huge blow to Russia's prestige, because everyone will say that Russia deliberately provoked this violence in order to intervene.
The authorities in Bishkek have asked retired police and army officers to go to Osh to bring the situation under control. Osh residents, however, have already started fleeing the city, fearing more insecurity in coming days. The ethnic clashes have so far claimed scores of lives and left hundreds wounded.
All the people in the hospital have gunshot wounds. There are a lot of shotgun pellet wounds. We have sent all the wounded to the city hospital and to the Osh military hospital.
The UN, world leaders and the U.S. are calling for calm, while members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, have offered assistance. Much, including the independence of Kyrgyzstan, rides on the interim government's ability to control a country where former Cold War rivals, the U.S. and Russia, seem to have once again locked horns for influence.
Well, just before moving on, we'd like to update you on some breaking news we're getting here at Press TV. The U.S. Geological Survey says a 7.7 magnitude earthquake has hit near India's Nicobar Islands. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has also issued a regional tsunami watch for all areas of the Indian Ocean. We will, of course, keep you up to date as soon as we get any more information here at Press TV. Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has warned European countries against taking sides with the United States. Ahmadinejad said the U.S. is in decline and the Europeans will fall along with it if they don't act independently. He said it would be in the interest of the European countries to have friendly ties with Iran. Ahmadinejad also said Iran, Brazil and Turkey's nuclear fuel swap declaration was a diplomatic victory that has created a new atmosphere in international relations. The president made those comments in an interview with an Emirati TV channel.
An agent to the Israeli intelligence agency Mossad has been arrested in Poland. Polish authorities say the Israeli spy was taken in at the request of Germany. The man, identified as Uri Brodsky, is accused of illegally obtaining a German passport used in the assassination of a top Hamas official in Dubai. Well, that Hamas official, Mahmoud al-Mabhou, was killed in his room in a hotel near Dubai airport in January. Dubai police have released extensive footage showing the suspects and the hit squad are linked to Mossad. They carried fake passports from Britain, Germany, Ireland, Australia and France. The documents appear to have been either faked or obtained illegally.
Amid international calls to end Israel's long blockade on the Gaza Strip, Gazans say what they need is building materials to reconstruct their homes, which were destroyed during Israel's three-week war on the besieged enclave.
Israel has been under mounting international pressure to ease its ongoing three-year siege since its deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid ship on May the 31st. Israel has announced that it is easing the Gaza embargo to allow snack food and drinks into the enclave. But Gazans say they need cement and other essential building materials for reconstruction homes and infrastructure destroyed or damaged in the devastating war on Gaza, not soft drinks.
The issue of Gaza is not only a humanitarian issue. It's a right. Our right in free access to the external, to the world, is abused by Israel. And Israel must reopen all the crossings, its obligation. It's not a gift from Israel.
Gazans also hope that their only seaport, which has not been allowed to operate since the Israeli occupation in 1967, is opened again, and they can freely trade with the rest of the world. Meanwhile, the Popular Committee Against the Siege said during a press conference that it has prepared an action plan to run the seaport under a European supervision.
It is our right to have a sea route to the outside world that links Gaza with other ports in the Mediterranean. An agreement will be signed between the Palestinian Authority and Greece to designate a Greek port to load goods destined for Gaza.
Israel imposed its blockade on Gaza after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas was democratically elected in January 2006. Since then, Gaza is mired in acute poverty, lack of medicine and medical equipment, with more than 10% of Gazans are physically stunted from malnutrition.
As the news has reached Gaza that more flotillas and convoys will be attempting to break the land and sea blockade, people here are struggling for their rights to enjoy the same opportunities as the rest of the world. Yusuf Al-Halo, Press TV, Gaza.
You're watching Press TV News. A reminder of the headlines now. In Iraq, American forces attack a house south of Baghdad, killing 5 people. Foreign troop casualties rise in Afghanistan, with 29 soldiers killed this week alone. Kyrgyzstan's interim government declares a state of emergency in the south of the country. And day 55 of the oil rig disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Can the gusher be stopped anytime soon?